We are Brightside. Home Theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Just threw Steve through a loop. Yeah. It's like,
check.
You're supposed to do that before you hit record. No, we do everything backwards here. We do all our checks and our rehearsals during the show, and that way.
Nothing if not thorough.
Yeah, it's like eventually we'll be thorough with something. Yeah. Oh, boy. How's everybody doing this week?
Good. Just about alive.
Chipper. Thank you.
Just about alive. Chipper.
Yeah. Oh, I am tired. It's been a lot busy last couple of days at the police stations.
Oh, not in the theater?
I spent a fair bit of time in the theater, but the world and his cat got arrested over the weekend.
Yeah, that was very presumptuous of you to assume the world is a male.
Well, his is the general kind of.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the world's pronouns are. We'll just say here.
Yeah, well, check their Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. Although it has been an interesting weekend because I spent some time on a big budget TV set this weekend. I had a wander around the Guy Ritchie's Young Sherlock TV set.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah, they're shooting for Amazon. It's a quite a big budget thing. And I was out with a friend due to have a pub crawl on Saturday night, staying in a hotel. And this hotel is on a very old street in Bristol, which is near to where I am. And they had converted it into a Victorian street. With kind of stalls, and they changed storefronts and all this stuff. There was blue screen up. There were Panavision cameras, all that kind of stuff. Mm. It was very cool.
Nice.
So head to my Twitter feed. There's pictures all over it.
I didn't know about this show. So
yeah, the only slightly annoying thing is because I knew they were filming because they'd been setting it up all week, and I took my 4K copy of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare in the hope that I might see Guy Ritchie and get him to autograph it. Right. He wasn't around.
Oh,
so, dang nabbit.
Oh well.
But there we go. But it does look like it's going to be quite a fun series. I mean, they're spending a lot of money on it. Hmm. What I don't know, of course, bearing in mind it's Guy Ritchie, are they shooting young Sherlock as young Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock or something else? Because, of course, Guy Ritchie did the two Sherlock movies. So, don't know. But, yeah, spent a lot of money on it.
De Niro? Dunno Jr.
Don't know. De Niro could be in it.
Yeah,
it was good, but it was interesting. It was fun to see, and you know, it's kind of they spent a lot of time getting it all set up. So I got to wander around it for a whole evening and the next morning, and they were doing rehearsals, talking about rehearsals, Deej. They were doing rehearsals before they started shooting, and yet, you know, we were allowed to just wander right through it.
Wow.
You know, it's a right of way, so they couldn't stop you.
You're all extras.
So funny.
So look forward to young
found
Sherlock
footage. You see Steve.
Yeah, it is found Apple
footage.
Watch.
You see Steve walking by the background.
It's like Victorian England, and Steve's got his Brightside Home Theater T-shirt on, and he's strolling through.
Steve,
the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Yeah.
You got to do like a Game of Thrones in the water bottle. You got to get the Brightside Home Theater mug in the background that accidentally makes it in. Mikey Schramm tried to do that. He tried to do that to Youth Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they were filming at Cedia, and I saw him, and like, I think there was like kind of like a wall or a shelf or something kind of right by, like a half wall, I think it was or something. And we knew where they were going to shoot because Paul Mikey had he was blinded. They turned the lights on. He's like, Michael goes, I think whatever. He's like, flash or whatever. Mikey looks like right at the lights and the big LED. I'm like,
You think?
But anyways, he knew where the camera was going to be angled. So while they were setting other stuff up, he's over there and he's taking, he had his mug. and he's taken and he's trying to make the small part to be in the background. Yeah. He comes up to me afterwards. He goes, I was trying to get this in the back. I go, I was wondering what the F you were doing back there. Like, cause everybody's trying to set up and they're wiring up his mic, you know, his lavalier mic and everything. You see Mikey's over there. He's looking at the camera. Oh, it's pretty funny.
That's awesome. But
good on him.
So yeah, so maybe I'll be in the background. We'll see. Yeah, you never know. I might be in there. Who can say? But yeah, no, it was cool. But it was quite good fun seeing it kind of all kind of just been set up and have a good wander around it. Nice. But I'll tell you, you know, we've talked before about the ridiculous production design and the work that goes into them. There were storefronts where they turned this one store into a taxidermist. So it's all this stuffed animals and things, you know, in the window. But there were three different sets of kind of things going back, even to the point where there were kind of butterflies that were about that big. If you were stood right in front of them, it's never going to be seen on screen. And yet it's all there. You know, the amount of work and money they've spent is crazy. This is how they cost hundreds of millions.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy, but very cool.
It is really cool. It's stuff like, I love stuff like that. And, little things like, I thought you were going to say they had like three different versions so that they could just slide one in and out. So it looked like it was like different times or whatever. But the opposite of that is I think of, you guys have seen Big Bang Theory, right? At least an episode here or there.
I mean, I've seen a lot.
I haven't. I've heard of it.
All right. Well, anyways, for it, just in case you haven't, it's that they live in an apartment building and there's a stairway in the apartment building and the elevator's out. So the common set is them going down or up the stairs. But behind the scenes, there's only one set of stairs. And so they'll have an entire conversation going up three floors. But what's cool is like, here they go up this set of stairs, cut, and then have that conversation. Now they reset the set so it looks like the second floor, reset the set so it looks like the third floor. And then you edit it all together and it looks like a...
Cheaper just to build three floors? You would
because you're also
the course of 10 years of filming.
But you're also confined to space on a set,
I guess.
Right, and it's just easy. You just go bang, 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 and it's like, and they're actors, so they know what they have to do. It doesn't have to go in order. It's like when I was growing up, I thought you filmed a movie like in sequential order,
right?
And like one of the first things that blew me away is like when you hear the extras or whatever, and you'll be like, "Yeah, we started filming on the final scene, but that was day one of shooting." Right. You're like, what? How do you do that? You know, but it's like, no, it's pretty cool. So, tiny things like that.
The perfect example of the movie magic via editing like that is A New Hope, of course. Because at the end, when they're shooting everyone getting kind of into the ships to take off to go after Death Star, they only had one. And they shoot it from different angles.
Yeah.
And so it looks like there's all these different people getting into these things. And it's just for the single one with a slightly different angle. And they just shot the same thing over and over again. Edited all together. It looks like there's 50 of them. Yeah. So very cool.
Isn't it cool? Yeah. But to John's point, it's like, it just seems so time consuming. Like it feels like it would have been easier to build more and shoot it all really quick, but that takes time to build more. Right. And it's like, but it's like on shooting day, it's like, all right, it's going to take forever to shoot all these, but whatever. But that's what I liked about even Rogue One is you had all that stuff. They had extra footage and stuff. We got a bunch of comments on that too. Here's a couple of them. Gurinder on last week's show is like the Darth Vader scene was like how menacing I imagined Darth Vader as a kid, which I thought that was a great comment because Vader was so menacing to people like us because we were, well, like John and I were seven and it's like, but he really, when you watch, you know,
really a pretty tame villain.
He never does anything, but he was the scariest person I ever met. It's like, but I didn't meet him, but you know what I mean? It's just the presentation of him. But he had never really did anything. Right. But then you get to see that final scene in Rogue One and everything before that, of course. And then this was from Erod, 9088 on YouTube. It says Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie and it set up Andor, which is the best storyline of the entire franchise. And yeah, it's just, I felt, I don't know if it's the best Star Wars movie. I don't know if I'd say that, but maybe one of the best stories because I love the creativity, like I said last week, Steve, of how it answers all the, it answers all the crap people gave. Like, why would you build that weakness into a Death Star? How did they not know that? And they're like, here, hold my beer. I'll sell this one.
Yeah. I don't want to be, I don't want to alienate people and be controversial.
Uh-oh.
I definitely like Rogue One, but that take is such the lazy parroting Star Wars bro take. Because if you listen to any single person on
which
social
take?
Media talking about the only good Star Wars to come out in the last 30 years is Andor and Rogue One, and everything else is garbage, you know? Mm. And to me, that's, I don't know. I hate that, perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, if it is legit your favorite Star Wars movie, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah.
I read that in every single post about Star Wars online, talking about anything new Star Wars.
So,
everything sucks except for Rogue One and Andor. And those are the only good things that, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad we brought this up to this week, because I was hoping you were there last week. And it's one of the things that I noticed, and I hadn't noticed it before, but I think maybe it answers the question why so many people are saying it that way. Rogue One is literally the only Star Wars movie built or made for the fanboys from the 70s. It's right. An adult Star Wars movie. There's no Jar Jar. There's no Ewoks. There's no cute, cuddly things. It has adult humor in it. It has, like, adult innuendo. It had a lot of stuff to it. You know, the whole Lando and the, you know, what's the name of the robot? You got all that going on.
Solo. You're talking about Solo. What are you talking about? Rogue One.
Oh, that's in Solo. I'm sorry. Yeah. I watched
it. I missed that bit.
But that one too. But that one I didn't feel. I'll talk about that one later. But that one had it too, but not as good. But no, Rogue One was like violent. It didn't have all of the stuff that all the other movies did. It had a dark story. It had a not happy ending, spoilers for people. You know, you knew what the ending was going to be. How do they do that? So much stuff, but nothing for kids, nothing marketed for kids. You know what I mean? It was all in answers to the people that grew up with Star Wars, and so they didn't placate to the younger crowd. It was more violent. You saw a more violent Darth
Vader. Yeah, it's a whole movie based on a throwaway line from A New Hope. Right. You know?
Which is
great. And again, don't get me wrong, I love Rogue One. But, you know, going with what Carl's saying in the chat, I also love all other Star Wars too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Andor and Rogue One are the only good things to come out of Star Wars in the last 30 years,
I
think there's been lots of good Star Wars. So
I don't even think Rogue One is the best thing in Star Wars.
I don't
Wars.
Either. I like Rogue One, but I don't think it's the best thing that's come out. You know?
I like Andor, but I liked Obi-Wan.
I loved Obi-Wan.
I love Ahsoka. I think Ahsoka is the best thing to come out in the last, probably the character itself. How much Ahsoka has done.
Oh, as a character to the lore? Yeah. I mean, she's the biggest thing. I mean, I guess other than Anakin, you know, she's the most fleshed out character in Star Wars, period.
Right.
I mean, nobody has more story than Ahsoka.
Right.
Again, with the exception of probably Anakin, but.
Yeah. Well, Anakin is what it's based off of. That's the whole story, right? From beginning to.
Right, right. I mean, all of Star
Skywalker
Wars
saga
basically
is all him. Yeah,
Anakin's story.
Right.
But.
And they're having a hard time getting away. Like, they wanted to end the Skywalker saga there and do other Star Wars stuff, but it's so hard to do because it's.
Thing is, everybody says they want that. Everybody says they want that, but every time they try to do that, then everybody complains that they don't want that, you know?
Right.
Well, that's what the Acolyte did, wasn't it? It's like we're going to, thousands of years before Star Wars, you know, for the Skywalkers, yay. What do you mean there's no Skywalker in it?
Right.
Right. Yeah. You can't win.
Well, you know, Skeleton, now again, from what I understand, Skeleton Crew has been very well received. But, you know, again, that's Star Wars that really has no connection to.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Skywalker.
I haven't even finished that.
Well, the last one is tonight, right?
Is it? I thought it ended already.
I think the finale is tonight.
Okay. So. Yeah, we get it tomorrow, I think. But it's, I'm up to date with it. I think it's pretty good.
Me too. I love it. I really like it.
Yeah, it's well done. Cheers. But yeah, no, fair enough. Should we say hi, by the way, to everyone sure. in the chat, guys? We haven't done that yet.
Hi.
We should. Hi, everyone in the chat.
Hi, pick me. Hi.
Right. So the first one then is StreamYard. Who's this StreamYard? Oh, well, whoever they are. Right at the very top. First comment, StreamYard, live viewer comments.
Show up. This is an example. Why is that there? It's like we have our own graphics. It's custom. I'm paying through the nose for all this. Why are they telling like we're new?
So TSG's in, hi, TSG, local boy. How are you? Steve at in, Mikey's in, of course. Well done, Ashley. Well done, fellas. We've got 20 odd minutes in and we haven't yet said anything that can't be at the dinner table for Mikey. So that's good news.
That's good.
We're doing quite well. Yeah. Good. Hi, Rach. Strange is in.
Pass the we'll sausage. Soon fix that.
Captain AC3's in.
Steve's kind of veered off the road. Guys.
Yeah. Jordan's in. Hi, Jordan. Dom's in. Bonsoir. Paul Hertz in, of course. Hey, Paul. Yeah. I think I saw Marcus Beebs in. Carl's in. Hey, guys. A fair few others. Oh, Ariel's in. Hi, Ariel. Dropped in from X. Scruffy's in. Hey, Scruffy. Everyone present and correct. And a fair few others as well, looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
So again, as we often say, if it's your first show and you're listening or you've never chipped in before, feel free to say hi in the chat and we will belittle you mercilessly.
No,
we
will
say hello. Yeah, no, I feel bad for whoever made that comment on YouTube now. I feel like I personally attacked them.
Oh, that one? No.
That wasn't my intent.
No. Oh my God. Trust me, I know what it's like.
I'm someone that's not a fan of Rogue One particularly. I am impressed at the fact that they managed to assemble. It's a bit of a Frankenstein movie, isn't it, really? They've assembled it from different directors, from different shoots and everything else, and they just kind of patchworked this thing together. So the fact that it's as coherent as it is a testament to the filmmaking of various people.
Right.
And again, as I said, if you ever get bored, fellas, and you're off air, ask John Thompson about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's got all the stories.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever get bored, period, and you got a couple hours of days to kill. Bring up John.
Call John.
With that one in particular.
Our last conversation, I think he had to hang up on me. So.
Oh, really?
Well, what did you say to him?
A lot. A lot. It's like, no, he had to get going. No, he was heading, of all things, he was heading, I think he was in an intermission for something.
Okay.
He was watching something and we were talking and he had to get back to a show or something like that. But it was one of those rare moments where we only spoke for like an hour and a half.
That was a long intermission.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have missed the first part.
Yeah, he stayed talking to me. That's cool for me. Good for me.
No tales out of school from me. But all I'm saying is, he's a very, very busy man at the moment.
Yeah.
So you know, he is in much demand, is our John. Yeah. But very cool.
I was watching. What the heck? There's a new movie coming out. Oh, it's a horror movie. It looks like it's right up your alley, Steve. I forget the
Wolfman.
Name. No, not that one. But that's, we'll talk about that one later. Anyways, it's from, they said, you know how they put up flashes up, like from the writers of blah, 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 whatever. It said
from the set designers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the cards up or whatever, the words that flashed on the screen momentarily said, from the unhinged writers of such and such. And I was like, oh my God, did Carl write this?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh.
And I was like, I had to back it up. I was like, wait a minute. Did Carl write something? I'm like, I thought he would have told. I'm like, is he got a movie coming out? And I'm like, oh. And I thought it was from the writers of Unhinged.
Yeah.
Right. But it was from the unhinged writers of, cause it's some like horror movie coming or something. And I was like, son of a bitch. I was going to get a hold of him and be like, why didn't you tell me? Oh, cause you weren't, you are unhinged, but you weren't on one of these unhinged writers.
That's it. Now what he said was Chopper, sick him boy. But what I heard was Chopper, sick balls.
Oh, Jesus.
Someone was talking about it over the weekend, I've just had that in my mind ever since. Stand by me. Just awesome. Anyway.
Yeah. So, there you go. All right. Oh, boy.
Anywho,
all right.
Yes.
So anywho. There we go. Anything else? Oh, Patreon today. We will be doing that after show. Somebody might be dropping in. Who knows? I don't know. You never know who's popping in on those. So, and Steve's like, I didn't say anything. It's not Steve. Guilty. Not guilty. but yeah, so Patreon chat immediately following the show for people that are interested. For patrons that are interested, if you're not a patron, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and become one. And you can join the chat. Great chats. Last week we talked till like 9:30, like 2.5 hours after the show.
Yeah. Who was in that chat, Deej? Because that's
let's see. We had Jack was there from Australia. Paul was there from England. I think Dom was there at the beginning. I believe Carl. It's hard to remember exactly week after week. We have a pretty good turnout every week. It's funny. It's like, I'll be like, I'm like, oh, I was represented here, here, and here around the world. It's pretty cool. So, but yeah, Jack was in, and it was like, we were like, what time is it? He's like, it's 11 o'clock, 11:30 in the morning.
Wednesday, I'm like,
yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm like, oh, so you're like, if he's listening right now, he's having breakfast. He gets up and has breakfast and listens to our show. So I'm like, it's just
crazy. He still hasn't sent me the lotto numbers from tonight though. So
yeah. And
still, I've been waiting.
Yeah. I've been waiting. So, but yeah, I was, trying to think of who else. Yeah. We get the regulars. We get the, and we get a few new people here and there every now and then. So John wasn't there. John Mensah, he's usually in. He wasn't in last week, I don't think. It's a good turnout.
Nice.
And it's home theater, but it's like anything and everything, just hanging out and chatting. So good time.
I live for the day when I don't have to get up at stupid o'clock the next morning so I can join in one of those.
Well, right. to what other people, you know, I live for the day that I can do it at a time that's more accommodating to everybody. You know, it's like, but we got to at some point, especially where everybody around the world is wanting to join
there's
in.
There's no
it's,
one time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and all I can do is what I can do. So that's all we can all do. So I appreciate, like, even Dom gets in, he's an hour behind or ahead of you, Steve. So it's like,
yeah.
So he's even later and he hangs out for like an hour or so, you know? So no excuses, Steve. I don't want to hear it.
Fair enough. Point taken.
No.
I am in my place. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm quite happy.
Good job, Dom.
Take a camera into the bedroom as I drift off to sleep. You just carry on.
Oh, hey, it's Brett. It worked for Brett. So you can't go wrong there. All right. I got a little bit of a do-do-do. Here we go.
Ooh, update.
Yeah. And this is reminding me of you, Steve. So I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, with images of the house, we've got some major excavation going. As of right now, this picture was taken a couple days ago. Septic field is in. Oh, yeah, we're getting snow off and on around here. Septic field is in. My driveway is no longer a driveway. You see all that dirt there. It's like killing me. So that's the septic field. Yeah, those are extended out today because it's going to go all the way to the end here, you see. But then we also have, there's the, that's the electric. It's not connected yet, but that was the electric box of the house. And that's it running from the pole. There you go. See, that's, isn't that nice? So we trenched it all up and everything like that. So, but this right here is that pile of dirt. It's even worse now. It's like completely decimated my like driveway. And I'm already like, all right, I need to get some fresh stone, put it down. Cause I'm like my ADD, OCD, whatever you want to call it. It's like, I got to neaten this place up. It's messy. It's like killing me. And I was thinking of you, Steve. I'm like, oh, I got to clean the driveway. It's already a gravel driveway and I've got to clean my gravel driveway.
It would offend my sensibilities no end.
That's going in. I'll have even more pictures next week because we're adding on to the other end of the house. We're leveling off and everything like that. It's funny, people were like, how are things going? And it's like, well, I'm back to like normal headaches because my buddy's the one doing the excavation. I got a new guy doing the excavation. He's my buddy I play hockey with. And my electrician, we sent pictures of the trench over a week ago. Okay. So this was last Thursday. So last Thursday, I get a text from him. Everything looks great. But yeah, we need the trench at the house. We need it moved over to the left and we need the pole dug away. We need it dug away at the pole so we can join to the pole. And I was like, well, the house has already been done because he's looking at pictures from over a week ago, the previous Monday. And you asked us to do that then. So we did that and the pole we'll get to, I said, the excavators will be back on Saturday to take care of the pole. And he wrote back, oh, I forgot to, the most important part at the final thing in his text to me was after he said what he needed done, he goes, and sorry for the delay. I've been on vacation for the last week and a half. Okay. No problem. I tell him they'll be there Saturday to take care of the, you know, the last few feet to the pole. Well, this is ridiculous. I need it done now. That's the text I got back. I'm like, what? What? And he's like, my guys are going to be there tomorrow. I need that dug away. This is ridiculous. It should have been done already. Bop, 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 bop. I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't even have to talk to my excavator. I know why you don't dig all the way to the pole, because if you do and the pole falls down, we're screwed. Because it's like, we just took away the earth that's holding the pole up. And he's like, we wanted to wait till we knew what he was doing. But I'm like, all of a sudden my electrician is like, oh, sorry, I've been gone for a week and a half, but I need this now. And like, and he was a complete, and now my buddy's like, I'm sorry about this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's not you, believe me. I'm like, I'm pissed at this guy and he's a family friend. I was like, what the? But at the same time, I'm like, at least this is, I'm mad at normal people. Like, I'm not mad at my family. Yeah. I'm like, this is the life. This is what it's like building the house. Oh my God. I was like, and I'm trying to say to John, I'm like, can I get out there with a shovel? And it's like 5 feet away. I'd have to dig out because I couldn't even get my tractor in there because it's into the woods. You need the reach of the arm of the excavator. And I'm like, I'll do it with a shovel. He's like, Deej, it's like 6 feet deep, four or five feet from the pole. And it's
frozen
like
ground.
4 feet wide. Yeah. It's like two scoops for the excavator, but you'd be there for like 10 hours. I'm like, done it before. I'm like, I just don't want him to be mad. But yeah, so that's, we're back to that.
Cool.
So, yeah, for now. And hopefully they'll have the electric's getting inspected tomorrow morning. And I'm hoping the electric company can now come out and just connect it. And then power. Woohoo. I'm picturing He-Man.
Yeah. I have the power.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing you in a loincloth on the thing with a plastic sword pointing it at the ground.
Well, it is cold out. Oh, my God. Oh, man. There goes my ADD. Yeah. I got to say it. You just said loincloth. I said cold. Family feud question. A boss takes you on a retreat to a nudist colony. What office supplies do you use to hide your privates? The guy answers, oh, this was asked to 100 men. The guy answers, a pen. Steve Harvey, without hesitation, goes, that'll work for you, huh? I lost it. I was like, how do you go there? I'm like a pen.
He's just thinking of office supplies.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think he heard the rest of the question. I think he just heard office supplies.
Roll a duct tape.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, pet. Yeah, well, that was up
sell
there.
Sell the parrot.
Yeah. The person that had time to think on the other side when that didn't come up, obviously, he said, piece of paper. It's like, ding.
Rolled.
That one. It's like a pen. But I love, like, Steve Harvey was like so quick. So it was like, that'll work for you, huh? Like, you, there's no way you could be expecting that answer. Not even a magic marker. Like a pen.
A pen.
Oh, geez. So, all right. That's about as blue as we'll get for now. Who wants to go first?
I don't mind. No matter. Easy like the proverbial Sunday morning.
All right. What do you want to start with? This? Or later?
Can do. Yeah, can do. Yeah, that won't take long. Yeah.
Uh-oh. All right. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Okay. So this then is Werewolves, which I saw on a screener. It's a bit complicated. It's kind of been and gone in the US in theaters. I think it came out on digital in the US this week, and it came out digitally here this week, and I had a screener, which I saw over the weekend. Yeah, Werewolves, as I say. Either of you heard of this? Know anything No. about this?
Yeah.
Been champing at the bit to see this?
I heard of it because it's been out digitally for a while now over here. I've had it on Kaleidoscape for like a month. I want to say it was out here a while ago. And this is the one that, remember somebody said, not werewolves, Wolfman or whatever is coming out. I confused it with.
And don't do that.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Because so, Wolfman, which comes out here in theaters on Friday,
same here,
is the follow up from Lee Whannell, who did The Invisible Man. So it's another universal monster that he's having at. Although I'm slightly concerned about Wolfman, I really want to see it. I'm going to see it this weekend. They're kind of shying away from the werewolf. I'm not quite sure I understand why you'd have Wolfman and then not want to make him a werewolf. Anyway, we'll see. Hopefully it's good. I have faith in Lee Whannell. We both love The Invisible Man, don't we, Deej? So hopefully it's good, but I'm a little bit worried about that. Anyway, let's talk this one. So werewolves. Now, by the way, Deej, what format's it in on Kaleidoscape? Is it 4K? Atmos?
I believe so. I mean,
it's only kind of Blu-ray, DVD sort of over this side, from what I understand. It's had some, because it looks like it's been self-financed by the director and some of his kind of friends. So they've struck different deals with different territories. So it's a bit kind of, a bit weird in terms of its thing. Yeah. So I'd be very interested to know if it's 4K, because that's
4K. 4K HDR 10 and DTS Master Audio 5.1.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, maybe we will get a 4K disc at some point then. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so the movie is, this is a B movie with a capital Z. It wants to be, an 80s action horror kind of thriller. That's what it wants to be. And it's harking back to those days perfectly acceptably. That's what it wants to be. And the idea here is that, a year ago, there was a supermoon, apparently, and the supermoon triggered a recessive gene in all humankind. And everyone that saw the supermoon turned into a werewolf. Ooh. And billions were lost. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. So shoot forward to a year where the supermoon's going to come again, despite the fact that supermoons happen more than once a year. Anyway, we shoot forward a year where what's happened is the government now, for reasons.
John did a supermoon once on a field trip, but that's a different story.
That's hanging from a tree. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Stop being blue.
Yeah, exactly.
The blue moon.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. Well, it was cold that night.
Yeah.
So for reasons, the government have decided they're going to do research on some volunteers this year. And when the supermoon happens, they're going to expose people to this, as it were. And they'll see if they turn and see if this serum works. Strangely, spoiler alert, it's in the trailer. Things don't go well. Werewolves get out. Violence ensues. Yeah. And
you wouldn't have a movie.
Well, this is true. And the only thing stopping us from complete destruction is Frank Grillo, playing every 80s stereotypical hero you've ever known. And, you know, the rest goes on. Now, this movie should be right up my alley. Apologies for the bottom humor once more time. But this movie should absolutely
right up your
be
moon.
My, yeah, quite a thing.
Supermoon.
there's a bad moon on the rise. So it should be absolutely my jam. This movie should be called Steve's Werewolves Movie. I mean, this is what I love. But I was disappointed with this. And I really wanted it to be better than it was. I really did. And I just thought it was too B movie. It was too cheesy. And also, and funny enough, John, as I was watching this, I'm so glad you're on this week, because as I was watching this, I was thinking of you, because the, you know how you said what really ruins a lot of movies for you, especially horror movies, is the reveal of the creature at the end. And it kind of looks dopey and silly, and that can ruin it. Well, with this movie, they decide right from the beginning, they're going to show the werewolves all the way through. And the werewolves kind of, look different to each one. They've all got their own characteristics, because they're supposed to be echoing the human that they were, and they look dopey and silly. And I think the kids use the word derpy these days. And they look derpy. So they do look kind of stupid, and they don't look threatening, and they just don't do it for me at all. Right. And so I was kind of like you. Once I saw them, I was just like, oh, they look stupid, and they've not got the threat level that the American Werewolf in London one had, or Dog Soldiers. I know you don't agree, Deej, but the Dog Soldiers ones, you know, that look threatening, you know, they're big and they look like wolves. These things kind of look a bit weird. It's just strange. So I was disappointed with it the first time around. It's really short. It's only an hour and a half long. It's light, again, an 80s throwback. And it may be I enjoy it more second time round, maybe. But I'm glad I got to see it on a screener rather than having to buy the disc. I think if I'd bought it, I'd be quite disappointed more than I am already. It's strange, because as I said, it should be a movie that I would love. It's made by people that clearly like these kinds of films, but I found it disappointing. Now, in terms of the video is really nice. I mean, this was only 1080p and it still looked really nice. So I'll be curious to know what the 4K disc is like, transfer is like. The audio was decent. It was only in 5.1, but actually what interest there is in this film for me was in the audio, because there's lots of bassy kind of stuff. There's lots of kind of growls where the werewolves are moving slowly around the room, and you can hear the growls and the different speakers, which I think would translate really well with a proper, you know, version of it on disc or Kaleidoscape. The audio is probably the standout of it. It might be the reason to see it, really. But it was just didn't grip me the way I wanted it to. So I'm hoping Wolfman will be the werewolf movie I've been looking for, because there hasn't been a good one since Dog Soldiers, and I've seen lots of them. So I'm disappointed in this one. But if you see
it, I liked Underworld. That has them.
Well, yeah, but not for the werewolves. Talking about moons. Yeah. No comment. It wasn't for the lichens.
You
were liking something else.
Been a while since I mentioned that movie.
Yeah, quite. So Wolfman, hoping it'll be good. I'm just fingers crossed. But this one ain't it for me, I'm afraid. Still my favorite too. American Werewolf in London and Dog Soldiers. Both of, you know, great movies, I reckon. But there we go.
There we go.
Now, John, have you seen Dog Soldiers,
by the way? I haven't.
I know Dean's been. See, now that you do need to remedy that.
Yeah.
As an Anglophile, you know, you like the British sense of humor and the sensibilities and stuff. Deej was not a fan. I get that.
It wasn't awful. I mean, I didn't say it was awful. It's definitely, I liked it. I liked it more than Evil Dead Rise. I liked it more than, what was the other horror?
Malignant.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was way better than that. But no, I didn't tear it apart. I said it was pretty much exactly what you build it as. It's like a B movie, and it's the special effects are, you know, exactly what you would expect out of that. It wasn't, you know, it was a decent story, and it does, you know, do its thing, but you got to know what you're getting when you go into it. If you're expecting something with great special effects and great, it is not that, but it's been a while, but I didn't hate it. Did I?
I thought you were kind of like, what the hell were you on about, Steve?
Well, yeah, but I feel like you said, like, it's like, go in with, like, temper your expectations. As much as you say you love it, it's not exactly, you get it. And that's how I went into it. I'll have to go back and listen to what I said.
I mean, the other one that people talk about is The Howling, of course, which is, which is a classic one. I mean, I'm not quite in the classic camp. I've got the 4K disc of that, but for certainly American Werewolf in London is the gold standard. And then Dog Soldiers is just under that for me. It's well worth you seeing, John. I really should try and make a beeline for that. It's bound to be available somewhere to see because it's so British.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, you've got one character that basically says to this werewolf before it eats him, you know, I hope I, you know, give you a bad stomach in a somewhat more forthright and Anglo-Saxon verbiage manner.
Right.
But it's got all that to it, as well as all the violence and the guts and the gore. It's worth seeing. But yeah, so I'm disappointed with this. I mean, funnily enough, TSG says it in the chat, actually says it better than I could. This felt like a 90s straight to VHS release, had a cool poster to lure you in, which is just bad. I think there's something to that. I think you're probably right there, TSG. I liked it a little bit more than that, but I didn't. It just did not do what I hoped it would. Never mind.
Who's the actor in Dog Soldiers? Where do I know him from?
You've got Sean Pertwee's in it. You've got Liam Cunningham in it, who was the Onion Knight from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Sean Pertwee has been in every genre movie, including Event Horizon. And Doomsday, another one of Neil Marshall's movies. He's been in loads of, he's a well-known character actor here.
Kevin McKidd. I was just looking at it. He was in Rome.
Yes, he was. He was not Pullo, was he? He was.
Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah. So he's really good at it. Yeah. He's using it. Liam Cunningham's the one that you'd recognize probably most of all these because of Game of Thrones. He was the Onion Knight in that.
Oh, okay. What?
Yeah, oh, he was kind of worthwhile bad guy in this.
Yeah, but what's his name was in Gotham.
Oh yeah. Sean Pertwee. That's
yeah. He was Alfred.
Right?
Yeah,
I forgot you'd know him from that.
Yeah.
He's a character actor over here, so we know him from all kinds of British movies. But he's in Event Horizon. He's in that.
But I knew him mostly from Gotham because I think Gotham, was that the first time we saw like Alfred as like the mercenary?
In video, yes. In comics, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of his lore from the comics, but I think it was the first time in TV or video.
TV or movies
that we
Doesn't Michael Caine though say in The Dark Knight that he was with the SAS in the jungles, that he's talking about the big diamond or the big jewel?
Yeah.
What came first? Was Gotham?
No, Gotham came after Dark Knight. I don't know if that was Batman Begins or Dark
Knight.
Oh,
maybe you're right, Steve, but
even still, that was just like the first time they alluded to it. And the way he alluded to it, it sounds like he was just there. It didn't really sound like he was tough, right? It didn't sound like, whereas in Gotham, you got the idea like Batman or Bruce Wayne's first training came from Alfred. Right. That was the first time that was, you know, there's Michael Caine never was perceived to have been training, you know, Bruce Wayne. Yeah, whereas in this one, it was a younger version too, it was a young Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But this was the first time, you know, to John's point, like the masses heard that like, oh my God, Alfred was like, he's a badass. And that, it was pretty cool in the show too, because he did do a lot of that. It's like he was the one going around kicking ass on the show. So
he's a great actor, Sean Pertwee. Yeah. And again, Paul Hurd says this. I didn't mention this, Paul. I thought about it, Paul, but I'm aware of our audience, Paul. So this is saying, so Sean Pertwee is John Pertwee's son. John Pertwee was in Doctor Who and was also in a series here called Wurzel Gummidge, which you guys won't have heard of.
No, never heard of that.
No. And I can see why. It was an 80s sort of kid show. So I'm mindful of my audience, Paul. Come on.
Yeah.
I do know Doctor Who, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time you guys would have seen Doctor Who though? 70s, surely. You wouldn't have seen it recently, would you?
What?
John watches it still.
I watch it every
My daughter loves it. Yeah, my daughter watched
it on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Oh,
I apologize. I'm a big Who.
I saw it. The last time I saw it, Tom Baker was the Doctor.
Oh, no, I've seen all the current.
Yeah.
Now, I've not seen the old, like a lot of the older. I came into it with the new stuff, like the Russell Davies and whoever the other, I can't remember the other guy's name that's doing it. Stephen Moffat. Yeah,
Stephen Moffat.
Mm-hmm. I came in with that. Sure. Chris Eccleston and you know, that's kind of where I came into Doctor Who, but.
And that's on what, BBC America then, is it? Is that where they're?
BBC America. Yeah. Now it's Disney. I mean, Disney owns it here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, I apologize. You see, I didn't realize that. I thought, you know, Doctor Who, I didn't realize traveled obviously throughout the galaxy, but I didn't realize it traveled across the.
It's pretty big here. Yeah, he's actually pretty big.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Back on chat, Meg and John, Meg, my daughter and John were trying to talk me into getting it. Oh, you'd love it. Like Meg was telling me all about it and she got into it in college and I was like, it just never stuck with me.
It's campy for sure, but there's, you know, I mean, I could throw a dozen episodes at you that, you know, you would absolutely love, but
You said that too.
Week out, it's not always the highest quality TV, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah. We've got, guys, if you want to start throwing shade at Paul Hurt, he said, the Yanks love Doctor Who. I got asked endlessly. Like Doctor Who, the last time I was in Baltimore, along with, I loved your Monty Python.
Your Monty Python.
Jeez. Your Monty. Yeah, my introduction to like British TV was Benny Hill.
Same.
Now that tells me a lot about your sense of humor, guys.
That's which is my dad. Like I'd go down and like he's watching TV and be like,
"We used to have to sneak Benny Hill." Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I would just walk. Yeah, you'd be standing in the doorway behind him, like, "Oh."
Funny enough, I could watch it at my grandparents' house because they did not police at all what we watched on TV. So
yeah,
I'd be in the afternoon at like 4 p.m. watching.
Yeah.
Benny Hill at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
It's funny how grandparents do that, isn't it?
Yeah. They took me to see Eddie Murphy Delirious when I was like, I don't know, not Delirious. What was the one before?
Raw.
Raw.
Raw came second.
No, Delirious was first. Delirious was the first one when I was like 12 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
I remember my grandparents from my dad's side. I never met my grandparents on my mother's side, but my dad's side, they were very religious, sort of, you know, not ultra conservative in the American way, but very conservative and Christian in the British way. And so they, I remember in Spain, they came out and we had some videos. This is how long ago it was. And we had some videos and they watched about 20 minutes of Dirty Dancing before turning it off. And because they were appalled at the sexualized dancing that was on it, they were disgusted by it and turned it off.
Wow.
The next day we put on Commando and they loved every single second of that film. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 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 They watched it. They were cheering and clapping and everything. And yet, you know, Dirty Dancing, hell no. Commando, hell yeah.
Yeah, you take a guy's head off with a saw blade. That's okay.
Imagine me in the theater with my grandparents watching Delirious.
Oh, yeah.
They had no idea what they were in for.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That, I don't know, that's the one where he tells like 13 or 14 when that came out. I don't remember what year it came out.
No, but Raw came out in the theaters in the mid-80s.
Yeah, so Delirious would have probably been like 83, 84 probably.
Four, yeah. Yeah, Delirious was the red jumpsuit, the red leather, and
15 or 14 years old. Watching
Raw was the black and blue. Yeah,
it was.
And that's the one where he told the joke for the little kids in the audience.
Yeah,
right. Like a bear and a rabbit.
Bear and a rabbit.
Lion?
Bear and a rabbit. Crapping in the woods. You have any?
Oh yeah.
You have a problem with poop sticking to your fur? Nope. So the bear wiped his butt with the rabbit. There you go, kids.
Yeah.
It's a joke for you.
One for the school.
There you go. All right. John, you ready for this one?
I can't see. Don't do that one yet.
Do my other one first. Which one? This one?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's good. Because right. I have story time to tell. So.
Oh, geez. For this one?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Not about the movie so much as the delivery system.
Oh, here we – well, that's what the show's all about. Let's get to it.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah. I don't think it's about the thing. Here we go.
All right. So strap in, everybody.
Once upon a time.
We're going to tell a little tale.
Are you sitting comfortably, children? Yeah. And we'll begin.
But for those that are on audio only, I will disclose the movie so they're not sitting here for 10 minutes wondering what it is. This is A Quiet Place, day one. So I wanted to mess around a little bit with a mini Plex server in my house to see if that was something that I wanted to dig further into. So I set this up to watch on from an SSD drive on my computer and using Plex on my Apple TV. So these are the results that I got from this. Most of this is probably pretty common knowledge from anybody that has done this, but it's all new to me. So I apologize if people know this stuff. If you look at this image, I should be getting this in 4K HDR with 7.1 True HD, and which would be Dolby Atmos for this film because that's
what it is.
That's what it is. What I discovered was that the Plex app on the Apple TV box does not decode Dolby Atmos. It will only put in 7.1 audio, and will upmix to NeuralX. I didn't know this. So I went to watch this. I watched a minute or two of it. I realized I wasn't getting Dolby Atmos. I paused it. I went to Google to try to figure out what was going on. From my cursory Google search, I discovered that the Infuse app on Apple TV will play Dolby Atmos. So I downloaded that, paid my $13 for my year-long subscription, and went to play this movie. So in the 5 minutes I watched this on Plex, I noticed that I was getting Dolby Vision, but I was not getting Dolby Atmos. So I popped it on over to Infuse, and I started watching it again. On Infuse, I was getting 4K, but I did not get Dolby Vision. and I was not getting Dolby Atmos either. So I paused. I went back to Google. And I found out that Infuse will play Dolby Atmos, but it will only play 5.1 Dolby Digital Atmos, which is kind of the lossy codec that you get from streaming, and not true HD
Dolby Atmos.
So anyways, I figured out that was with the limitations that I had, that's what I was going to get. I was going to have to, pick one or the other, whether I wanted Dolby Vision, whether I wanted lossy Atmos, what I wanted to do. So what I decided to do was watch half of the movie in each app to see what I liked better. So watching it on Infuse, I got 4K image. I did get lossy Dolby Atmos, but I had to crank this thing up like I was watching Disney Plus. Like I was at plus 10, I think, before I got any kind of real punch to the Atmos. Watched about an hour of the movie and, it was great. The movie itself, I know we've talked about here on the show before. Steve reviewed it. The movie's excellent. I really enjoyed it. I hadn't seen it. It was my first time watching it. Picture was super sharp. Looked great. Audio was serviceable, but I didn't think I was getting, I wasn't getting what I would get from the disc, with the lossy Atmos.
Let me just back up a second. Did you take the disc and put it onto a hard drive, to a flash drive? Is that what you said?
I'm not going to disclose where the source came from because I was asked not to. But yes, it is a rip of it is a direct rip of the disc. I have a SSD drive that's got an assortment of movies on it that was provided to me. And that's all I'll say about that. but suffice it to say, I don't have the disc to compare it to. So I wasn't able to do a third test with this. So anyways, I watched the movie till about halfway through and I said, okay, now I'm going to switch it over to Plex. What I found interesting that I liked a lot, that I didn't know was going to happen, is that when I hit play on Plex, it picked up right where I left off. Like, it didn't make me start over again, which I thought I was going to have to do. And so that's really cool for A being back and forth, because like you can just go from one app to the other at the same scene, you know, right away. But anyways, I switched it over to Plex. And like it came alive. I thought the picture was good on, Infuse, but the Dolby Vision really made a huge difference. Like the picture just popped like it did not, on the other app. Now I immediately had to turn my volume down.
Oh, yes.
Because I was at plus 10 and I had to get this back, because even though I wasn't getting, Atmos, I was getting pure HD audio
right.
at Lossless. Reference at plus 10 just... reference level. So it was loud. And I really enjoyed the back half of the movie more. Could also be that the movie is designed to build and you're supposed to like the back half of the movie more. But I mean, I thought the presentation though was much better on with Plex than it was with Infuse. The Dolby Vision made a huge difference. The upmixed pure audio was still way better than what I was getting with the 5.1 Atmos. So, if I was going to continue with this experiment, and I'm not sure that I will, I would have to get a, I lost my mind. It's like, what's the other box?
Arvolution.
Language.
It's a PD.
No, the other,
NVIDIA Shield.
NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah, yeah. It's like my mind just went away. Yeah. Yep. I would get an NVIDIA Shield, which would decode everything and would be the preferred player. That if I was going to continue to do this. I mean, the quality is there. Like it's definitely an attractive option for me, you know. Setting the whole thing up and burning 400 discs is not appealing to me. I did like having, you know, I have, like I said, 13, 14 movies on the Plex server, and it is nice to be able to jump back and forth between them without having to, you know, get up and put in a disc or do any of that stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Kaleidoscape is going to be probably the way to go for me. Because, especially with the Strato V and the cost of that, the cost of setting up a good Plex server is not that far away from the cost of just buying a Strato V at this point. So,
That's
probably what I'll do, but I have time on my hands right now and I wanted to mess around with this a little bit to see what kind of quality I could get and, you know, what I was missing. So again, going back to the presentation, I can't tell you exactly, like I didn't watch it in its purest format on disc with Dolby Atmos or anything, but I was still pretty impressed with the presentation of the movie and, the upmixed, audio and the Dolby Vision. I mean, it was great. I still think I prefer the original movie more. But this was a pretty solid movie. I did enjoy it. So,
I'm so glad you reminded me, John, that because I think, as much as I really, really enjoyed this, I think I'd kind of forgotten that. And bearing in mind what we're going to be doing next week, I'm so glad you reminded me that this exists.
Yeah.
Because I've got a funny feeling this might have just sort of gone under my radar. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you know, there are some slightly weird things. They can't swim, but they swim in the first one,
right?
Which is a bit weird. And also, I haven't quite figured out why it is when they're trying to attract the humans to the boats to get them. They make loads of noise. So somehow you've got to get through this line of aliens to get to the boat.
Yeah.
I haven't quite figured that out yet, but otherwise.
It's one of these movies that – we didn't really need, like, it didn't add a whole lot to the lore, you know, of the Quiet Place universe, I guess. Like, we got all that we needed to get from the first movie. You know, I don't know that we needed to see Day One necessarily, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I will definitely get the disc and add it to my collection because I think all three of these movies are fantastic for Atmos and audio, demo discs for sure. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet, Deej. Because this is, again, you know, this is like Tomorrow War. You know, it's that kind of you know, same sort of thing. And it is definitely demo material from second one, right from the opening New York thing. You know, we get a title card that says New York has a resting decibel level of whatever it might be. And then it just kind of kicks in.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, whoa, okay. So it's really, really cool right from the beginning. So, yeah, I'm surprised you ought to see it for next week, Deej.
I'll try.
You've got nothing else to do. Come on.
What am I doing?
I mean, you'll like the movie, you know.
No, but I like that, like, I like the experience, John, that you're going, like, that you're going through. It's like what I went through with the Zapiti and, or if you get an Arvolution now, it's, but the idea is like everything you're going through now, when you eventually get a Kaleidoscape, it makes you appreciate it that much more. You're like, oh my God, this is so simple.
Well, and again, I'm going to be honest about all this. Like, this was pretty low maintenance because like, this was an SSD drive that I plugged into the USB port on my computer and I hit play. Like, I didn't go through all the stuff that you did with setting up servers and burning disks and all that stuff.
Right. But that's all you have to do to get there. Right. That's what you have to do to get there.
Right.
But like, as low key as you had, it's still like, it didn't play on this. And that's where an Arvolution comes in. It would just play like the file, whatever it has on the file, it just plays. Right. You don't have to worry. Kind of like even the NVIDIA Shield, you have to have it set up right.
Right.
The Arvolution, it just transcodes
it. And that's how, when I discovered that Zapiti went out of business because I went to look it up and I discovered they didn't exist anymore.
So. You didn't know that? We did a whole show on it.
Not while I was on. It must have been on my hiatus.
It was a Takeover Tuesday. It was a Takeover Tuesday.
Yeah. I might have been lax on listening to some of those.
Yeah.
I don't want to call myself out, but.
Call me up, buddy. Call me up. Yeah.
An extra large cookie that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
but it is good. And for those listening, you know, anyone that hasn't seen it, it is well worth getting the 4K disc because it is demo material.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
Yeah. Quiet Place, they have great. I obviously haven't seen this one yet, but they have great home theater experiences in them.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a demo material almost throughout. But I'll see if I could get this one in this week.
Yeah, this is set up as an Atmos in particular demo disc. The amount of times that things fall from above, you know, the number of times, I mean, you can see one of them there, in that picture, but it seems to have been set up deliberately for people like us that have got these systems to take advantage of it. So yeah, I'll definitely recommend it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's see. All right. I'm going with, we're going to start off. We're going to start off with this banger. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Nice.
So this is, for the people of the audio only, this is We Were Soldiers from, what was it, 2002? I think 2002.
Oh, was it that? Really? Wow. Was it that long ago?
I think so. Yeah, wow. 2002. Yeah, you got, Mel Gibson, Greg Kinnear. Probably one of my favorite characters in this. I haven't seen this in forever, but, John Mensor had mentioned it to me, telling me, he's like, you got to see this. The audio on this is next level. It's only in 5.1. Okay. So it's a DTS HD Master Audio 5.1 I have it on Kaleidoscape. HDR 10, Dolby Vision, but DTS Master Audio 5.1. And the comment that John made when he told me about it was, he's like, this is where, like, DJ, you were right. You don't need Atmos, DTS:X. It's like, you know, see Christopher Nolan, Quentin Tarantino. You can make great audio tracks based in 5.1. And this one, basically, yeah, John was right. It sells it. It's so good. There's a couple spoilers for people that haven't seen. There's a few gunshots in this. You know, you guys have seen it, right?
I have seen it.
Oh, cool. How many times?
Multiple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I haven't seen it in forever.
Me either, but
it's such a difficult watch. Such a difficult watch.
Deej, what does your dad make of it?
I've never talked to him about it.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Do you know if he's seen it?
I've never talked to him about it. I was afraid. I'm afraid to. My dad is so good about this stuff. And this one here is like, this is like the, you know, the platoon of Vietnam, right? It's the reality, so real, so like, and so poignant to every, I mean, they did just the writing, just the story that they're telling here to emphasize everything that went on. They literally, it was what, Battle One they take, and that just epitomizes everything that goes on for the next decade plus, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I've never talked to him about it. I don't know if he's seen it. If he's seen it and he didn't talk to me about it, maybe that's why. But I did see, obviously, there are battles in here that were reminiscent of a couple that he told me about. Obviously, he wasn't there. He wasn't in this one. My dad was there from 68 to 69. And, but he told me some battles that, some stuff that happened, and he tells it, he tells the stories when he told me as a kid, he tells them as like, hey, we did this. And it was always in, you know, sounded lighthearted and like kids, like as kids, you go out and you play guns in the woods. And he told the stories like that. Only when you grow up as an adult, you're like, wait, that was real. Like, you know, like, wait a minute. So, and this movie is just ridiculously real. Right.
And yeah, it's
sick. You know, like every time and that's why I haven't seen it in a while, but every time you see it, it's like, we always think of like, not Platoon. I'm sorry. Saving Private Ryan. That's what I meant to say earlier. Saving Private Ryan, you know, you have the beach at the beginning, but then the rest of the movie is them doing their thing. This is like the beach scene throughout the movie.
Full film.
Right? Yeah, you're just waiting for the next wave, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not on a beach, but you're waiting for the next wave, right? Ridiculous gunshots, ridiculous explosions, ridiculous. I mean, the sound in your room, it is, like John said, it's like the way it moves around the room, the way it fills the room, the way the explosions and the bass lands on one side, but you feel it's scary. It brings the emotion, but then also you have the part of the story when they come back to the States and now you have the ambient sound of that and how that toys with your emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And like you have, you know, obviously the wives doing their thing, and it's like, so not only is a story tearing at you, but then the audio is doing the same thing, whether you realize it or not. And that's what, that's the dynamics of what this movie is and what makes it such a difficult watch. What were you going to say, Steve?
Yeah, well, you never think of the words Broken Arrow in the same way again. When you hear him say that, you just like, and talk about a scene of utter horrific kind of scene.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, it is incredible. Yeah. It's an awesome film, this one, and one that I think has largely been overlooked or forgotten or both. You know, it seems to have gone, this one. And it wasn't directed by Gibson, wasn't it? Was it directed by William Wallace, or did he write it and Gibson directed it? Or, cause it's a retelling
William
of
Wallace.
The Braveheart.
No, William Wallace was,
Randall Wallace.
Randall Wallace.
I was thinking, sorry, I thought you would just call him Mel Gibson, Wallace. William Wallace.
Well, freedom, you know, but no, it's Randall Wallace, isn't it?
So when he was in the movie, he put a helmet on. When he went behind it, when he yelled action, he was wearing a kilt.
Although you get some Scottish sort of singing in this as well.
Yeah.
Yes, Randall Wallace. Did he direct this then? I think he did. I think he directed it and Gibson was in it.
He wrote directed it.
He wrote Braveheart. Yeah. So that's the reteaming of these two.
Yeah.
It's an incredible film. But this is what I was asking about your dad, because I mean, it must have been a completely different experience for someone who was in this kind of environment, if not this actual battle.
Yeah.
Obviously this will, I think we need to warn John, because he hasn't seen it for a while, of potential flashbacks. John, there is a bayonet scene in this.
Oh, is there?
Just so you're aware. Fix bayonets.
Yeah, fix bayonets. Yep.
Because they've run out of ammo.
Yeah, well, they were running low and they're going in like, fix bayonets. And it's like,
bring back some traumatic memories.
Yeah, so.
Sent for Private Zaccone.
Yeah. Where's he going?
Saving Private Zaccone.
Yeah. But, yeah. Sam Elliott was awesome too.
Yeah, he's
well, he's force is, of nature. He always is, right?
His character and the person he plays in this, it's like, if any of you call me Sergeant? Grandpa, if any of you call me Grandpa, I'll kill you. I'll kill you myself.
What is that? Is it morning, Sergeant? He goes, how do you know what kind of goddamn morning it is?
Yeah. It's just, yeah, no. They tried to say something the second time. He's like, what are you, a weatherman now? he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good film. Madeline Stowe, isn't it? She's the wife.
Yes.
Who's
yeah, in and a young Kerry Russell, too. Poignant. Young yes. Kerry Russell's yeah. in it.
It's great. It's a very good film. But like I said, I think it's largely been forgotten. When we talk about great Vietnam movies of any era, you're always going to talk Hamburger Hill, Full Metal Jacket, Platoon.
Yeah.
You're going to talk movies like that. And this one just kind of disappears, you know, even I think people remember, what's the one with Andrew Garfield?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Not Heartbreak Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. Hacksaw Ridge, which of course was directed by Gibson, which I think people will kind of remember those films before we get to this one. And yet this deserves its place right up there with those it's visceral, isn't it? This film.
Yeah.
They don't put any punches in this, and the napalm burns and all that
for
kind
real.
Of stuff.
The graphic. You know, the use of the graphic violence and, I mean, accurately portrayed that you're like, oof, you know, just that some of that stuff there is what kind of rang with me and my dad. And that you're like, obviously he's not telling me the graphics, but he's telling me about these stories and a couple of the tactics they use here. He would tell me about tactics that they had used. He wasn't telling me tactics. He'd just tell me the story, but I'm seeing it played out here. And I'm like, it just makes you sick. You're just like, what the heck? It's like,
The sheer fear, the fear of that you've got the dark, you know, it's at night, they're in their foxholes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that flash they get and they're right there. You know, the fear of that must have been, you know, incredible. And you feel it watching it, you know, oh my God, they're right there.
So, great segue. We nailed it. I mean, see, I screwed it up. We did it better in rehearsal.
We had a great segue.
And my, got tongue tied. All right, let's take two. Got my kilt on. Here we go. Director. The Dolby Vision. Now, this is a catalog title. I haven't seen this in a while, but I know those scenes you're talking about there. This is in Dolby Vision. Those scenes were fantastic. The night scenes. I'm like, I can't say I was sitting there going, I'm seeing stuff I've never seen before. But I can say the vibrancy that you're getting in those night scenes is insane. The rest of the movie, I can't really be like, oh my God, the Dolby Vision adds so much. It's like the day scenes, I will say when they're first coming in and the helicopters, the first insertion and you're seeing the smoke and it's playing up and stuff, that looked like very 3D to me. The way the helicopters are coming through that, it's like that looked really nice. I thought, the 4K, the Dolby Vision, I thought added a little bit to the movie, but it added a ton to the night scenes. And those scenes there in particular where they were like, they'd call in for flare and you'd be like, oh my God, like literally feet away. When you watch this in 4K, right? When you get this and watch it, back it up and watch, like, cause you don't see the people there until they call for the flare, right? Jump back 10 seconds and you'll see the people there. And it's insane how it's like, you're like, cause you don't know what you don't know. It's all right in front of you. It's almost, I mean, this is war. You don't know what you're seeing until you get a light on it. And then when you get a light on it, you're like, how did I not know that was a man? Right. So it's like in a home theater, we don't know until we get the right tech what we're seeing here. It's been there all along. It was there in 1080p, but now you get it right. It's the same thing. Let's call for a flare. Let's call for Dolby Vision, whatever you want to call it. They call in a flare and you're like, back it up and check that out. And you're like, you can see the outlines of all of the men coming at them and how close they are. And then when that flashes on the screen, and even in my theater with my lowly Sony projector, it's like your eyes go, whoa, when that flare comes on. Cause it does. It's bright. It looks great, but the blacks are great. It's so well done. That was super impressive. The tracer fire looked great. Even in the daytime, like the helicopter's coming in, you see the tracer rounds, which to me, it's like, I get it. You're firing. So the tracers are for the person firing the gun, but you kind of, maybe they could have tracers that don't, you can't see when they're coming at you because then you can dodge. So that's kind of what they're doing. They're flying the helicopter. Like, oh, they're shooting over there. Let's go this way. Whereas if they didn't have tracers, you just fly right into it. What are you laughing at?
I'm not sure that's how it works.
I know.
Quick, duck.
Duck, yeah. Look, oh, here comes dodge bullets.
Bear in mind that tracer round is, what, every sort of 10 rounds? So the 9 in between are the ones that are cutting you in half.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's either every 10 or 5 or something like that. If that. It could be every 50, the way those things shoot. But yeah.
The cinematography of that shot you're talking about, Deej, with the helicopters as well, trying to get all that into one frame. That must have been fun because there's no CG in that bit. There is some CG stuff in it, but not there. That's it kind of reminded me of Black Hawk Down. You know, there's those shots of all the helicopters lined up.
Well, and the other part where this was made, what, 30 years later, something like that, from Apocalypse Now, but it's telling the story of what Apocalypse with the helicopters, and you see Greg Kinnear wearing Robert Duvall's hat, right, from the cavalry, and that's what was kind of cool at the beginning of this, where that Vietnam was like, these aren't horses, we're going to use helicopters, this is how we're going to do it, and that's where they got the air cavalry from, which I thought was really cool. But we already know, obviously, Apocalypse Now came out in, what, 70-something?
Mid-70s, early 70s.
It was 74. Like shortly after Vietnam or during the end of it. But you have that whole thing and, you know, which I thought was great, where you have the character in this that played the reporter. By the end of the movie, he is like Robert Duvall's character. Right. And it's like he's standing there and now here come all the other reporters and they're all like, oh, bang, bang. And he's just like, yeah, that's a friendly fire over there. Don't worry about it. But at the beginning of the movie, he's like, oh, my God, he's ducking around and everything. So, just the entire movie, obviously the story itself, but home theater experience, I think it's a must own. It's the sound itself. It's for anybody who wants to come over and tell you, you need Dolby Atmos, pop this in. And it's nice to have this as opposed to just always going to Christopher Nolan. Somebody else is doing it right as well. So that's pretty cool. So thanks for John. I mean, not like we wouldn't have seen it, but John, thanks for bringing this one up because, it was a amazing, amazing experience and tough watch, but you got to get back. I'll get back to it again. Over and over again, because that's what we do to ourselves.
It'll be interesting to compare that to the Blu-ray, because the Blu-ray is in, I was just checking that as you were talking, is in 6.1 DTS ES. So it'd be interesting to compare what a 5.1 DTS HD track would sound like compared to a 6.1 DTS ES one.
I've heard, I can't confirm, I didn't look it up for myself, but I've heard it's a new master, a new version.
Nice.
What do we got next? What do we want to go to next?
Take your pick. We've got three there, so you can just grab one. I don't mind which one. Oh, yeah, we'll go with that.
Let's have a little fun.
Oh, yeah.
After that.
Okay, so this one then we have talked about before because, John, you reviewed this a while back, I think.
Right, from the theater.
Yes. So this is literally Beetlejuice 2, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Now I did not see this in theaters. I saw this at home for the first time in Cinema George, and this is the 4K disc in Dolby Atmos, 4K HDR, the full works. Missed it in theaters. Have you seen it yet, Deej?
No.
I know that. I pre-purchased
it. I've owned it since before you can own it. Nope, haven't seen it yet.
Before they made it?
Yeah. But
good news is I didn't have to buy it twice.
True. Or eight times. All right. So now in terms, I don't think you could talk about the sequel without talking about your views of the first one. Now, I really do like Beetlejuice 1. And saw it in theaters, seen it many, many times. It's not a movie that I, you know, watch a lot, but it is a movie that I really like. And I've always enjoyed its kind of quirkiness. And it's obviously just Tim Burton playing, essentially. And so we came to this, and I came to this with some trepidation because I was worried about how coming back to these characters all this time later would work and whether it would be enjoyable or not. And I'm pleased to report I really enjoyed this, actually more than I thought I would. I like Monica Bellucci as the kind of bad guy, as it were, bad girl. she's very good in it. It's ultra, ultra quirky, more so, I think, than the first one. This one is really out there at times. But it is an enjoyable story. I was never bored. I was never kind of taken out of it. I was never thinking, oh, you know what, this is too quirky and I've kind of had enough of this. It actually is a lot of fun. And I think if you watch it in the right mood, and I did, you can have a lot of fun with it. So I'm very glad I've seen it. Now, in terms of, because I see the time, so we'll zip forward a little bit. Now, in terms of the video quality, at times, this is almost IMAX worthy footage. There are, I'm aware they shot lots of this in IMAX, and you can tell. And there are some beautiful shots. The movie's 185, so it fills your screen. And there are some beautiful shots of kind of autumnal streets and all the different, you know, leaves and everything else. And it looks gorgeous, you know, really transformative at times, not always, but most of the time. And the makeup effects look really, really good. Some of it is exceptional. So from a video perspective, it's very good. The Atmos audio is fantastic as well. And this film did something that no movie since I set up Cinema George has done quite so blatantly as this one. And I'll tell you what this was. So on the night that I watched it, someone else in the house was unwell. And they were not doing good at all. They'd gone to bed and I was watching this, and there was a sequence in it, where there is a wedding. And at this wedding, this is going to sound weird as I say it, right?
Yes.
But there is a wedding, and as part of this wedding, there are goats and sheep that are making noise. And there is, at the start of this wedding, there was a noise from over my left shoulder coming from the rear left speaker. And it was, it sounded so much like someone screaming Steve that I stopped the film, turned off everything, went running from the room because I was thinking something serious has happened here. Went running up the stairs.
Oh God.
To find that person sound asleep.
That's awesome.
So I came back down.
That's awesome.
Put it all back on again. Put this pic back. It's a goat or a lamb off the court.
Just calling you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just go, nah. But to me, it sounded like Steve. Bear in mind, I was kind of listening out anyway.
Correct.
Now I've had a number of times where I thought it was raining outside, or a number of times where the doorbell's gone and I thought, oh, well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I've never had a voice do it to me before.
Nevertheless. Yeah. From a goat.
No, it's so weird.
You didn't tell that person in the house that they sound like a goat, did you?
No, not that I'm aware of.
He's still here in front of us, DJ, so obviously no.
Yeah. I would have felt a bit sheepish.
Just have all these written down on a card somewhere.
Stop. You're kidding me. Deep cut there.
And you made that up on the hoof.
Yeah.
So I genuinely, it was weird, really weird, but it was enough, as I say, to even run right up the stairs. It wasn't even enough to stick my head out the door.
Would have been quicker to back it up and have it play again than it was to do the sprint. Also,
it occurs to me, what kind of absolute a-hole, right, doesn't just pause it and run up the stairs? Oh, no, I have to turn it all off.
Oh, God.
Well, I thought it was an emergency.
Oh, shut the whole room. Close
the door. Yeah, put the seat down, you know, and then go and check.
No, put the seat down.
It just occurred to me. No, you know, the rest, footrest.
Yeah,
down,
yeah, yeah.
You
know? It's not like you're on a toilet. My prime seating position is a toilet. That's how much I love movies. I don't go anywhere.
Any crap ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's never happened before. I mean, in all the hundreds of movies I've seen in Cinema George since 2017, you know, but so that added to the fun when I got back to it.
God,
that's funny.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's really, but really good fun, and much better than it should have been. A lot more enjoyable than it could have been.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Should have been. Yeah. I'm looking forward to picking this up.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't own the first one, so I'm waiting for like a nice two pack.
Yeah.
You go, oh, he's been shot. He was shot in the 90s.
True. I'll be waiting a long time.
Well, he's a hologram now, isn't he? Something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, talk about a film with about the afterlife.
There you go.
But yeah, no, it was really decent and worth seeing, Deej, but you might as well wait to Halloween. But yeah, it is really good.
We'll have to get that timestamp from you, Steve, because for anybody named Steve, that timestamp only works for them. Everybody else is just like, you're not talking to me. It's got to be a goat. It's a goat. Nobody else is
so
like.
So weird. I don't think the second time it didn't DJ. Really sound like it.
Just yell back. Stupid goat.
Oh, yeah. It was embarrassing. But only for me, now that I've just confessed all. I didn't tell anyone else.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
But, yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Martin J in the chat just bought We Were Soldiers for about
€8
on Amazon. Yeah. Looking forward to trying the DTS 6.1
mix. It is lossy though, Martin. That's your problem.
Yeah.
It's DT. Yeah. So it's lossy. But I remember it being good. And the disc is decent. Yeah. I've got the Blu-ray, but I will upgrade to the 4K of that all along. It is out in the US. It's not out here yet, but when it hits here, I will get it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. John, what do you want to hit that other one that I had?
Yeah. I've only got two. So I just wanted to do the other one first because this one piggybacks off of that.
Oh, geez. Look at you. You've got a purpose and everything. Ooh, geez. Coming in hot.
I came in with a first day back.
Yeah. And it might actually work.
It took me three weeks to come up with it. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you think of this one. This one's.
Yeah.
All right. So the next film I watched was Monkey Man. Also watched this on Plex. Interestingly enough, though, and this will be quicker, I loaded this up on Infuse as well. This on Infuse did play Dolby Vision, which prompted me to turn it off and put Quiet Place Day One back on to see if it would load in Dolby Vision, and it did not. So I don't know why, and I haven't been able to figure that out. And I wasn't able to see anything on Google unless there was just some kind of setting that I had that only applied to that one movie. I don't know.
Yeah. There's also different versions of Dolby Vision, but different levels of depth that they use. And I think I was talking with Nelson today in the Takeover Tuesday about like what I've learned and why I'm using Dolby Vision pretty much straightforward now. Yeah. If it's there, I use it. I don't even bother comparing, there's different levels of it.
Okay. Cause I didn't watch this in Infuse at all. I just wanted to, I don't know why, just for my own curiosity, wanted to see. But yeah, interestingly enough, it did load Dolby Vision on, Infuse. But anyways, I switched it back over to Plex and I watched it through there. So basically same situation. You know, it had Dolby Vision, had 4K, 7.1 pure HD, but obviously did not play Atmos. So I had it up mixed. Have you seen this movie, Steve?
I reviewed this one on the show.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I may have not kept up with all of those episodes.
I mean, I'm trying not to take it personally.
I don't want to out myself.
Yeah.
But, okay. All right. Well, so I had not seen this movie. And I really, I mean, I'd heard of it, but I didn't have any expectations. I didn't really know what to make of it. So presentation wise, again, I thought it was really, really good. The Dolby Vision, the picture was excellent. This one's a little bit, darker, you know, in tone and in like the visuals were darker. But I thought the picture quality was excellent. This one doesn't have the same dynamic score that Quiet Place has. But it had its moments. Like it had some moments where, like the speakers really came alive, and I thought the upmixing, again, I thought the track was excellent. I'd be curious to watch this on the disc with Dolby Atmos and see if I was missing out on anything. But I don't imagine it was too much because, as we've said, you know, the upmix Neural X does a pretty serviceable job, you know, in replacing Atmos in most cases. As far as the movie itself, I enjoyed this. Again, I didn't really know what to make of it, and it wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. because without giving too many spoilers, this guy was pretty inept in the beginning with his hand-to-hand combat skills. And it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be when this movie started. And I will say I did have a bit of an issue with the pacing of this and the quickness of his character development. Because if you've watched this, this entire movie takes place in the span of about 30 days. And he goes through a big change in 30 days when it comes to, you know, what he can do in the ring from minute one and what he can do when he's Jackie Chan at the end of this movie. And when I realized that it all took place in about a month, I was a little skeptical there. But all that being said, this was a fun movie. Like towards the end, when this thing really gets ramped up, it's really excellent. It's a lot of fun. The fight scenes are very well done. It had some things I've never thought I'd see in a movie with like kung fu fighting transvestites and, you know, things like that, that I never expected to see. But I liked it. I don't think this will be one that I go back to over and over and over again. Like I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it and I thought it was fun. And, like I said, it took a while to get going, throughout the film, but once it got to kind of like the last arc or the, you know, final third of the movie, it was pretty entertaining and I thought it was a lot of fun. So I don't know, Steve, remind me what you said about it. Cause I can't remember.
Well, you know what? I, as I'm sitting here now, I'm thinking like, what did I think of it?
Yeah. Well, I think you really liked it. That's why I have it.
I did like it. I think they sold it though kind of on slightly under false pretense. I think they sold it as a bit of John Wick.
Right.
And I think it's much more than that. They do try to infuse it with cultural sensitivity and specificities and that kind of thing. And I mean, bear in mind, this is a directorial debut of Dev Patel, as Jordan says in the chat. I was aware of it. You know, it's a pretty ballsy debut. And bear in mind, he's in it and all the rest of it. And, you know, so it's tricky to do, but no, it is good. And I did enjoy it. I'm struggling to kind of remember exactly what I loved about it, but I remember really enjoying it. And it does look great. I agree with you. It does. The nighttime stuff, all those kind of things look really, really good. And the fighting's great. I remember the audio being really good. But I am struggling though sitting here now. And I mean, it was weeks ago. I think we talked about it, Deej, months ago even. I'm struggling to remember specifically what I thought of it. But I did enjoy it. And again, it would have been enough to recommend it. So it must have been better, but I can remember bits of it. But I'm not, you know, I've seen a few films since then.
That's kind of how I feel like I'll think of it in 2 months' time as well.
Right.
I saw that. I just don't know that it will stick with me. I didn't, I didn't really love it, but I did like it. And again, if you ask me in 2 months to, you know, I would probably say, go ahead and give it a watch, but.
Right.
It won't be featuring for me next week. Yeah. Put it that way.
There we go. all right. I have two more. I'll skip the one that we already mentioned, but because I really want to get to this one. Can you see what that is?
I do. Oh, I think.
All right.
I thought you'd already seen this.
No, we did talk about it, but it wasn't me. All right. All right. So we're talking Kraven the Hunter. Dropped on Kaleidoscape today. Came out digitally. I think it's for rental right now. I think that's all it is right now. Maybe you can buy it digitally. I'm not sure. I didn't even look it up, but. It did come out on Kaleidoscape today, so I grabbed it and was able to get it all in. I watched like half of it this morning. I was only going to watch a little bit of it. I've been very intrigued since Shane mentioned it when he was on a few weeks ago, and he said he really enjoyed it. And he's like, it's the best of these movies, right? It's not like the best comic book movie, but it's like the best of like
universe.
The Sonyverse. And I was like, oh, okay. It's rated R. It's 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, all of that. And right at the beginning, like you're into, this movie, it was so funny. I came into it with a little bit more, maybe a little bit more enthusiasm because of what Shane said, that it wasn't half bad and it was pretty good home theater experience and stuff. He saw it in the theater. And, but the hashtag dork guys, they hate this movie. They think it's like, they're like, the only movie worse than this was Madame Web, they said.
Oh, okay.
They thought this was absolutely awful. Ryan Davies, like, the people that made this don't even know who Craven is. They completely botched the character. Now, he's not wrong. I mean, I don't 100% agree with him because he said, like, they said on the show, like, he's a villain. And maybe, but John could speak to it probably better than I can. But from what I remember, Craven is he was one of those, like, he was in the middle. Like, he was a villain, but he was like a mercenary. He was just a gun for hire.
Right.
And, you know, just looking for a challenge. And it was, I mean, he ends up going in the comics, he ends up going after, quote, Spider-Man, because he's already hunted everything else on the planet and he has no more challenges left. So he was looking for the next challenge. And he literally had no beef with Spider-Man. It was just a challenge, right? This here, I don't mind what they did here. I actually very, very much enjoy the story. I actually like what they did with him. I like how they adapted his character to maybe present day or whatever you want to call it, some ideals, whatever that they had in mind when they were writing this. But there's a, and John will remember this from C. So there's a lot, I'm not a huge fan of like guns. I understand why they exist. I don't want to own one myself. I don't like guns. I've never liked the idea of them, right? So when we were watching C, there was a line in, what was it, season 3 or something, John, where Baba Voss is being like, he's being like hunted in a building. And the guy goes, you hear that? He's like, you know what that is? And he had fired off a round. And in the movie C, it's like basically goes back to the Stone Age and everybody's blind. So nobody really even knows what a gun is.
Right.
But Baba Voss had played by,
Jason Momoa.
He had one of my favorite lines and he's like, I know what a gun is. It's a weapon of choice for men with no balls.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. It's like, cause if you know, like fight me hand to hand. Don't, yeah, anybody can pull out a gun and shoot it. And that's what I've always thought about guns. Anyways, so the line in this one is that, so Sergey, which is Craven, as a young kid, him and his brother are out in the, you know, on a safari or whatever with their father. Father wants to be a legend, and the younger brother goes, I hope he gets one. I hope he gets what he's after or whatever so he can be that legend and we never have to do this again. And Sergey turns to his brother and goes, a true legend would fight fair, not with a gun, only with the tools you were born with. And I was like, all right, movie got me. Love it. I'm into this movie the rest of the way. And I was like, that's... Like, I love the idea of it. I love the special effects. He jumps around. He does the whole thing. He's like, he literally in this movie moves like Spider-Man. And they explain all that away. I love it. Home theater wise, really good. Sony disc. It's a Sony disc. About seven, and again, this is right at the beginning, about 7 minutes in, there's a bass wave. When you watch, no spoilers, but there's a bass wave, literally, you'll know what I'm talking. I'm not saying like a bass wave, like a sweep, like there's a bass wave on the right side of your room that feels like it's coming at you on the right side of your room. It is so cool. I was like, I wasn't going to stamp this out at all, but when that happened, I was like, I got to write this down. I'm like, where are we here? We're like 7 minutes in. There you go. Really cool. Check that out. The Dolby Vision, the 4K. Excellent. Plays well. There's a lot of dark scenes in this. There's a night scene by a campfire. The detail behind Russell Crowe in sitting by the campfire, the blue skies, the warm light on them, really, really accentuated. Looks really nice. There's a scene where eyes, we love that, the color of the eyes, that plays in. Looks really, really good. About a half hour in, I think it was, there's a seagull flies behind you. While seagulls are flying all around the room, ambient seagulls are flying all around the room, you hear one in particular flapping its wings all the way. It's like a, you know, literal demo scene, like all the way around behind, from the left to the right behind you. And there's a distinct overhead scene probably an hour and a half in where they're shooting flares out of a helicopter and you're looking up at them on the screen, but they're coming down on you and it's in your overheads. Like you hear the thump, 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 all in your, and I was like, that is really, really cool. Very, very enjoyable movie. Very good home theater experience. I really liked, Jared Leto, that home theater experience was better.
Morbius.
Yeah. That home theater, because of the way they used the sound throughout that movie. But as a Craven fan, knowing, like, having read the comics and all of that, I am not offended at all that they changed the character for this. And how they, in the story, I thought it was fun. I agree with Shane. It's like, it was fun. Leave your comic book brain at the door if you want. And I thought, you know, a fun comic book movie, fun character. And it's a shame. I'm like, at the end of it, I was like, damn, I wish I could get another one of these. But you know, you're never going to.
Well, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Because now it's done $1,030,000.
Exactly.
Because you bought it.
Exactly. Now I'll be interested to see if Steve ever sees this. You're going to tear it apart.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Russell Crowe and his Russian accent and all that. I'm like watching this movie and I'm like, well, Steve's never going to like this because I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he'll find something wrong.
I've got to get it though, Deej, because I've got all the others. So I've got all the other Sony Cinemaverse, Spideyverse, whatever. So I'll get it just to see it. But I just go in as I did with Madam Web with expectations that are, you know, subterranean.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, then if, as long as the movie plays from start to finish, it's got to be better than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I go into them. Right. And you know, it's fine. And on that basis, I mean, Madam Web, I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either, honestly.
It was just right at the bottom. Yeah. So I think adjusting expectations is the way to see these. I'll get it. I'll definitely get it when it comes out. And again, it's a Sony disc.
Yeah.
You could just watch it and not care about what's going on screen. Just enjoy the visuals and the audio.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Josh? Nice.
No, I haven't, but same thing. When it's like a $10 disc, I'll buy it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to pay $30 for it, but
I get what Ryan's saying as a comic book, as like he and his favorite character, like me, is Spider-Man. Right. And this isn't that same character. It's loosely based, if you want to call it that, but it's still, I think if you, like Steve, if you don't know the character, you're not going to be offended at all. You're just going into, you'll walk out, go, is that, that was fine. What was wrong? And that, I think that's where Shane came from. I don't think he knows who Craven is. He has no expectations of the character. So by the end of the movie, you're like, oh, pretty cool. You know, it's basically, you know, his character is stick up for the little man, whether it's a little person or not little person, but, you know, underdog or animals, right? And it's, you know,
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Anybody that says that they dislike this movie, though, because the character wasn't true to the comic book version of the character doesn't read comic books. Because anybody that reads comic books for any period of time will know that the comic books aren't even true to the characters. These things change and evolve, and there's a new version of every character every other issue in a comic book. So I guarantee you could find a version of this character in a comic somewhere. You know what I mean? Because whatever you don't like about it, don't say it's because it's not comic accurate, because comics aren't even comic accurate anymore.
Right.
These characters are any more than 3 or 4 years old. They've changed a dozen times or more over the years. You know how many versions of Batman and Superman and Spider-Man are out there? And so that's not an argument that I would put any credence into. That doesn't mean it's a good movie, but like don't come bashing it because it's not comic accurate, because that's lazy, you know?
Right. Well, look at, like, Tim Burton does Batman, and you get basically the early version of Dark Knight, right? It's dark, it's dreary, which was the original Batman, okay? Then Joel Schumacher comes along, and everybody's like, this is ridiculous, it's too colorful, it's too stupid, it's blah, 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 it's, that's ridiculous. Did anybody remember Batman 66?
Well, and I was going to say, if you look at Batman 66, that's what Batman was in the comics in the late 50s and early 60s.
Yes.
Like that was comic accurate for the time, even though they went into it, you know, it was a comedy and it was supposed to be campy. And right. It was a thing, but that's the way Batman was. Batman wasn't always the Dark Knight. You know, he started right. that way, but then he went way away from that for a long time
in the comics.
Yeah. And then the, you know, 70s come and Neil Adams comes in and he's the Dark Knight again. So even that, look at Batman. So now if you looked at Batman 66 and today, if you saw it for the first time today and said, that's not comic accurate to Batman, how could anybody do that? Well, right. It was at that time pretty accurate.
And it was an interpretation
right.
for television, for entertainment purposes, right. which is what all of this is. And that's why I was just like, oh, okay. And that's how I felt about this. I was like, I was very entertained. I love like – something's going to grab at you, you know, resonate with you. And it's like that entire, like the lines that I heard early on resonated. Right. And I'm sure it's probably going to resonate with people, animal lovers, because he's a hunter, but they don't get into the whole backstory. You don't know, like, cause they jump from when he's a certain age, like a teenager, all the way to maybe he did hunt everything on the planet in between. And now he's doing this, you know, you don't know. So there's some cool lines. It's like, I'm a hunter. I hunt people. He tells a guy that in an elevator, which is pretty cool. The guy's just looking at him like, okay. But yeah, it's just a badass movie. It's rated R. Tons of gore, Steve. You're going to like that part.
That you had me at tons of gore.
Yeah. So should have led with that.
Yeah. God damn it. Bury the lead.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let it play out. So, but yeah, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to you, to what you guys have to say about it when you see it, but it should be pretty soon. Quick release, not making much money.
It should be $10 pretty soon too. Although Madam Web is still $30, so
they're still trying to make.
That's
that
why
money
I don't
back.
Own it yet. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. So there you go. All right, and that's it. We are out of time. That was quick. That's the end. We started earlier. We were late, but we started earlier than we usually start. So
early for us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So anything else, boys? Anything else?
No, we can leave. I've got two more. We can leave those till next week and I will fill in some more in the meantime.
Yeah. I got a couple more myself.
So that's absolutely fine. Yeah. Cool. No worries.
Well, actually, I don't know if we're going to get to them next week, guys. Cause that's next week. True. Next week we'll have our, John's back. So John's back for good. Well, for good. For now. Schedule's permitted.
For good for now.
But he says he will be here next week. So next week we'll have our our annual Brightside Home Theater experiences of the year of 2024. So we're diligently behind the scenes working on our lists as we speak. And so we'll have that. That's next week's show. So these will probably some of them might be in the show maybe. But interesting. Do we just go all 2024 movies or the catalog titles because they got new? Ooh, up mix. Who knows? Who knows?
Let's just
tune in next week to see. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Same bat channel.
There we go. All right, that sounds great. Everybody, you guys good? Everything good? Mm-hmm. All right, let's get out of here so Steve can get to bed. I gotta get to the chat. To the Patreon chat. So thanks everybody for watching, listening, participating, rate, review, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. I should write that on the post, you know, but hey, till next time, you know what you gotta do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production. With theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.